Vectis Radio. Vectis Radio. FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Now, you may have heard there's going to be a general election on the 12th of December, and we've promised to get all six Isle of Wight parliamentary candidates in and on and give them a chance to tell us what they're going to do for the island. And I'm pleased to say that first one in, part one of six, is Carl Feeney. Afternoon, Carl.
Good afternoon, Ian.
How are you doing?
Yeah, great.
If you just pull yourself up a little bit closer to that microphone, you're like well chilled in the chair. Well chilled. Now, let's find out, before we go into the political side of things, let's find out a little bit more about you. What I want to do over the next couple of weeks is, you know, who these people are, who you are, what you do, and so on, and how, you know, then we can get a feel of people, and I think that would be a good thing. And I don't think we do that nationally, because we just steam in and have a go at people and so on and so forth. And,
yeah,
you know, I think islanders deserve to know who, what, why, and then they can make their own decision. So tell us a little bit about you.
It's a good idea. I was born on the Isle of Wight at St Mary's Hospital, 1965. Which makes me fairly ancient.
I was born in the same year, so we're both ancient together then.
Yeah, well, there you go. It was a good year.
So what middle school did you go to then?
I went to Denmark Primary School initially.
In Cowes?
In Cowes,
is that right?
Yeah. My parents ran a B&B. My mum was a state-registered nurse, an SRN. My father ended up working at the prison. He was a prison engineer, and they both ran a B&B as well in Granville Road in Cowes, and again just a short walk down to Denmark Road Primary School when I was a little kid.
Do you know what, did you play football?
I was a rugby guy.
You're a rugby guy. You didn't play football, because I remember as a Barton Bonehead playing against Denmark Road. I think they would have played in red. Would they have been red?
Maybe, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So our paths may have crossed, but many, many years ago.
And then there was another school just further down. So there was the top school, and then there was a bottom school. And then just as we're going to there, we moved to Gosport for 5 years when I was 9. Came back at 14, spent the last year at Cowes High.
Okay.
So it was Cowes High then. It's Cowes Enterprise College now.
It is, yeah. Yeah. Are you still in Cowes? Are you based in Cowes?
No, I live in Newport now.
Okay, based in Newport.
Yeah.
So married now, young kids?
Not married.
No?
No. I've been engaged for the last 22 years.
Right, okay.
We've been together for 23 years.
Okay, nice.
And we have an 18-year-old daughter.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. So there you are, family man, living on the island.
Yep.
Been on the island, apart from those 5 years you went to Gosport. What made you, you know, basically, because let's be honest, it costs money to do what you're doing. How much does it cost to actually stand as an MP?
You put your £500 deposit on.
Right.
Which if you get 5% of the vote, you get that back.
So you got to get at least how many votes?
Well, I think the legal voting age, well, obviously that's 18, so the people above 18, I think there's something like 110,000 on the island.
Yeah. Turnout's been about 75,000 last time, so you could get a percentage of that.
In theory, yeah.
Yeah, roughly. Yeah.
It's only, the £500 is actually a drop in the ocean, because you've got the extra expenses, the leaflets, about 2,500. There's a few other things as well. It's probably going to cost me about £4,000.
Is it my own money? Yeah.
Is it
fair to say that £500 and all those other pounds, that's got to come out of your pocket because you're not associated to a party?
That's my own personal money.
Right.
But I am associated with a political party. It's called the Independent Network.
Right.
And I didn't want to do this without any support in Westminster, should I actually become the MP. Being an independent is a pretty lonely place. Up in Westminster, if you don't have any political party backup and support. So I was introduced to the Independent Network, and they've got a lot of councillors, two 2,700 councillors, 25 MEPs. There's, I think, three other people going for being an MP as well within that party. But they've got offices just opposite Parliament House in Smith Square. I went up there a couple of weeks ago. I spoke at a conference there, and they've taken me under their wing. They're lovely people, and there's a whole bunch of other offices in the same square, the Liberals, the Labour, etc. And they're all pretty unified and sort of coming together and working together and okay. supporting each other.
So, I mean, in the past, there have been people that have decided to stand on the island, and they probably wouldn't have had that network that you could have, or just say, for instance, if you were elected, you've got people that will be guiding you and
absolutely.
You won't be like chucked in at the deep end and,
no.
You know, because obviously we need to know that, because people will think, well, what's the point? You know, that person's just going to be completely lost, but you've got a network of people in places.
It's really good. In fact, the Thursday I went up there, we all went out for a meal in a bar, really. Just around the corner, had a fantastic time. They're just really nice people. Yeah.
Okay. So what made you, you know, put your hat in the arena then? What made you sort of think, right, okay, I'm going to do this? And when did you decide? Because I know Boris only knew about it, a month ago, three, 4 weeks ago. He was trying and so on. Have you always been ready, or has it just been a decision that you've taken since he's actually announced it?
I've been pretty upset and disgruntled about the way the representation on the island has been in Westminster. And you know, the island is in my blood, and I feel like my home is being burgled.
Right.
It's not great, and I want to stop it, and I feel like I can do that. Living here, you actually do understand the problems. At least you have a better indication of the problems than if you don't live here, and you know, we're not going to suggest that the present MP doesn't live here, but it seems that way. And, you know, if you're an MP and you mess up and you fail at things, you still have to face the consequences if you live in your own constituency. But if you don't, and you're kind of parachuted into a constituency and you don't perform particularly well, you can then just swan off and you don't have to face the consequences. I will be walking down the street in Newport or wherever, cows, people will recognise me and I'll be blamed for it. So I've got a fairly strong reason to make okay. sure that I succeed in this.
Rest assured that we will be asking him when he comes, you know, what have you been doing for the last two and a bit years?
Yeah, well,
and
I'd like
so
to
on.
Hear that too. I'd be interested.
There is an element. I know that people moan and groan about certain things, and I really want to focus on you rather than, you know, Bob, because I think he's got to come in and answer these questions himself.
Yeah.
But there is an element of, well, if he's kind of down here for a period of time, and he's not down here, but he's at Westminster, then surely that's better for people to have someone in the big house rather than down here shouting.
Absolutely.
And so there is a fine line.
I'd be up there, you know, fighting for the island in Westminster, but I'd be fighting for the island.
Okay. Well, let's come back to you. All right, so, you know, there's a few questions that have been sent to me. I've got loads of questions I want to ask as well. And I did say to you off-air that this is the first time, we're the same age, so we would have started voting in 1983. That would have been our first election,
okay.
unless you were unlucky to have been born after. I think I just got in on my 18th birthday, because I remember Virginia Bottomley coming round.
I remember Virginia,
And knocking our door, because I think she was the Tory candidate.
Yeah.
And we were just getting ready to take the food down to a party in a hall.
Yeah,
and she said, "Oh, you're having a party." And my dad said, "Nah, we always eat like this, love." And that was my first. And ever since then,
I remember Virginia, because she was at the Isle of Wight Tech College at the time. That
right,
was called that, wasn't it? Doing my carpentry and joinery course up there, and she came in and did a presentation with some other the candidates, I suppose. And it was really interesting, but I had no kind of interest in politics at the time. I just thought it was interesting the way they were debating about things.
I knew who I was going to vote for. I knew every single election since then who I was going to vote for. This is the first time ever, and I'm being totally honest, I have no clue who I'm going to vote for. And, you know, this, for me, yeah, OK, we're doing this for the listeners as well, but I'm also doing it for me, because I get to meet all six up front, personal, and find out who's going to look after us the best.
Well, that's a good way to be. Surely, if it's not ingrained into your persona that you're going to vote a certain way, but you're willing to have your mind changed, through debate. That's the best way.
Okay, look, let's talk about some of the policies. I know you've given me some paperwork here. I haven't really had a chance to go through it because obviously you've only just turned up with it. And you've got a bit of an issue with you've had 75 leaflets that they're not going to be delivered now.
There's a bit of a problem with the Royal Mail at the moment.
Right.
The printer doesn't seem to have got the. It's not the printer that I hired on the island. Because he then had to outsource it to a printer on the mainland, but the mainland printer doesn't appear to have got to the Royal Mail deliveries in time for deliveries tomorrow, I think. Or is it today?
Okay, well,
anyway, it's a bit confusing, but hopefully the 75,000, which I've paid for, to go to each home on the island. And
this is the first one I've seen.
It is.
I've not seen anybody else's paperwork at all. So, I mean, rest assured that I would imagine it's caught everybody on the hop, because this came about pretty damn quick, didn't it?
Exactly. I had to design this. I designed it myself. Got the information there exactly as I wanted it. And there's a little poster on the back, so you can put it up in your window and show support like that. But it had to be done pretty quick.
Is FixLink your biggest policy?
I've got two main policies, really. All the other ones can be adjusted as according to, the situation at the time. But obviously, the FixLink is the big one. I've been campaigning for 5 years to try and get the freedom that I think the island needs to come and go 24 hours a day. And affordably and reliably. That's been frustrated quite a bit by the Isle of Wight Council, by the previous MP, but to be fair to Andrew Turner, at the end of his tenure, he actually had come around to believing that there must be a study done, because the only radical way of competing with the ferry companies is introduce competition. And that's the only way, possibly, that things can change. But that's been a long process, and there's been all sorts of trips to Westminster, to infrastructure companies, all this sort of thing. And even the mainland authorities had to be consulted. So that's one of them. But the other one is a different way of doing things.
Just stick with that. Let's tackle that
one.
Sure. Let's talk about that one.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I personally... I know you've been campaigning for a feasibility study.
A viability study.
A viability
to start off
study,
with,
right.
Completely different thing.
How much does that cost? When can we see it?
Yes, okay. Right, well, this has been arranged through ARUP, who is a very, very big infrastructure consultancy company. And they've got about 11,000 people worldwide working for them. Got a director, really good guy. He used to work for KPMG. He got headhunted, went to ARUP, so I'm now dealing with ARUP. We put together a scope of proposal for a viability study, and that incorporates a great deal of things which will prove one way or another whether it's possible financially to construct a tunnel. And more specifically, the Solent Freedom Tunnel. We've got a line of route that goes through from Whippingham to the Daedalus Enterprise Zone in Leon Solent, and then on to the M27. The mainland authority is extremely interested in this because it gets the traffic out of the two cities of Southampton and Portsmouth, and it goes straight onto the M27, which is now a smart motorway. So it can handle it fine. Generally, if you're going to Portsmouth or Southampton, you know, some of the traffic will end up on the M27 anyway, but you don't have to go through these cities. That campaign has been going on for quite a long time.
So it might be a while then?
The actual viability study is £100,000 plus VAT. Now, this study should be a great deal more, but Arup are really interested in this. This is one of the best infrastructure projects, but the most viable that they've ever seen, primarily because at the moment we're spending about £115 million a year travelling across the Solent. So instantly that becomes part of the equation when you're looking at the revenue that you can get from this tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of usage would increase going backwards and forwards, which would bring the actual tolls down as well. There's a huge amount to talk about in this subject. It's very difficult to get it out in 1 hour.
Sure, I get that. I'll be honest with you, it's one of those topics that it divides opinion. It's probably, on the island, probably the most divisive conversation.
Yeah.
But I would imagine if you went back 20 years ago, people would have fought tooth and nail for no fixed link, and they would have told you you're mad. You might have even got a smack from a few people, because they do get a bit, you know, aggressive from time to time. But as things have changed, and people probably want change and probably see that we need to embrace some changes. I mean, I for one, would like to see if it's called a viability study.
A viability study.
I would like to see that for two reasons. One, we need to weigh up our options.
Mm.
And two, on the other side, those people that knock it and don't want it, you can say, no, you can't do it because of, you know, this reason, that reason. At least then we would know exactly where we stand, and then we would say, right, okay,
yep.
Well, do you want this or not? Because it is an option. Here's the project. You can see the details
there. You can
only
work from correct information.
Exactly. So I would like to see it for those reasons.
You have to have these studies done to glean the correct information to make the correct decisions.
But that I'm not saying that I'm for a fixed link. What I am saying is take this forward. See if it's weigh up our options. That's where I think we need to be, and hopefully that will happen. But I say it is a divisive one, but not quite
I
so.
Think,
can I just take you back? You're the same age as me, and you've lived on the Isle of Wight for. And it'd be interesting to see what happens, and it might bring us on to another question that someone else has sent in. Back in 2001, do you remember Phil Murray?
Yeah.
Phil Murray was...
And Alex Dyke on the radio.
Geordie lad, and he was... Phil was a nice enough kind of guy, but he stood as the Build a Bridge party all those years ago, and he got 1,500 votes. I don't think he even got 1,500 votes.
No.
And so it would be an interesting thing now if we had a crystal ball to see how many votes you get and how many votes he... And that's the opinion of people is changing.
I think we moved on from there, though. The repercussions of isolation are very profound. You know, a lack of decent education, a lack of an NHS over here. You know, you can't find the teachers that want to come to an isolated island. And it is becoming more isolated as the capacity on the ferries dwindles because we have so many people on the island.
Mm.
If we get another 10,000 houses, you're going to have another 20,000 odd people. But the same capacity on the ferries, and still a lack of doctors at the hospital. And when you imagine that at the moment, there was an article in one of the media today that a third of the people that go up to A&E at the moment, they don't get seen below 4 hours. There's 4 hours at least before they're seen.
Yeah, I saw those figures.
And I think this is something that happens countrywide, nationwide, is that you have those figures are manipulated as well, because you'll get somebody going into A&E and they think, oh, we've got to keep our stats up. Let's move them to a different department. So they get moved to a different department.
But would a tunnel
fix
that?
And then they have to weigh...
Would a tunnel fix that? Because they say, yes. OK, we're trying to attract more professional people to boost our NHS.
I've got two very good friends. I've got two very good friends who are consultants at the hospital.
Right.
And I'm not going to say who they are because it's a very political thing up there. They can't speak out because it's politics as opposed to healthcare. But they are desperate for this fixed link. I believe when there were the I think it was the Cowes Enterprise College, they had an evening representation from the NHS Trust up there, the directors of the NHS Trust, and they were explaining about the problems they were having up the hospital, and Alan Marriott from the County Press said, if we had a fixed link, you know, how would that affect things? And they said, well, we wouldn't be here discussing it now. You know, and that was a surefire indication that they need a fixed link. They can then, yeah. There's a lot of doctors that won't come and live on the Isle of Wight because they've got family. They've got to put them through schools and things, and the schools are failing over here. But by the same token, it's a bit of a vicious circle. It's difficult to get more experienced and effective teachers over here if you also have schools that are failing at the same time, because the teachers won't come here. Because they've got children that need to go to these schools as well. They can't afford to send them off to a private school. So, you know, it's a...
But then again, if, just say, for instance, they don't live here and they come over, surely then
they
the economy... The economy suffers a little bit because they come over, take the wages, and then take that money with them to the mainland.
It does suffer. You know, if they're coming over here and they're performing as a commuter...
But if they don't live here, then they take their money away from the island. So they come over, they earn the money, and then they clear off back to the mainland.
Yeah.
It's lovely that they've come up and helped our hospital, but at the same time, it doesn't boost the island's economy, does it?
No, it doesn't. You're quite right. The circular economy suffers if you don't have people, the high skill set individuals that need to be here to perform high skill functions. If they're not living here, then you're quite right. They're living somewhere else and they're getting paid there, so they don't input into the circular economy.
Well, would a bridge change that? Because you're saying they don't want to live.
A tunnel might.
Would a tunnel change it? Because if they don't want to live over here...
Yeah, a tunnel would. Yeah, I mean, these people, they have to go to seminars and all sorts of things in London. They need to go to London. They then have to get back. One of my friends, the consultant who lives in Ryde, he had a big problem because he needed to go to the seminars in London and then get back for work the next day. He had to leave the seminars early because the last ferry wouldn't allow him to get back on the island again. So, you know, this is just certain little semantics of the NHS situation we have over here. But departments are closing.
Right.
Up at the hospital because they can't get this staff. You know, they've been giving them or offering golden welcomes where they would get 20,000 or 30,000 as long, you know, this is above their natural wage, as long as they would stay for at least a year, they get an extra 20 or 30,000.
Right.
They still couldn't find anyone. They still can't get these people to come over here. It's a bit of a career dead end.
I did notice, it's in the news today, that there's somewhere around 200 jobs that haven't been filled at St Mary's, which is, you know, when you know that the, you know, figures out there for, you know, people being out of work is quite high, but I would imagine these are professional people. And let me say, I take your point on the fact that we're not attracting people to come across, but I don't really see, and I'm not against a bridge or a tunnel. I'll be honest, I visited Hong Kong very recently and I wasn't one of the troublemakers, but I did use the tunnel. And there's a tunnel from Hong Kong Island to, you know, and you just think, okay, so this is easy enough. And they've not got one, I think they've got three tunnels.
The thing is, you can't see them.
No.
So you just don't know they're there.
No, exactly.
But they're everywhere. These tunnels are everywhere. It's, I think, you know, I travel a lot. I'm very lucky. I managed to go... travel worldwide quite a lot, And you know, I think, oh my God, there's another tunnel. You know, and it's just so easy. You just go into a hole. You basically come up the other side, and you've just traversed either a mountain or a lake or a sea.
I don't. You know, that to me is when people say, "Oh, it can't be done." No, it can.
It's easily feasible.
But would it actually do what we want it to do, or would it have the undesired effect? I think that's what people will worry about, because once it's done, you can't go back. And just say, for instance, you know, you've lived here all your life.
Yeah.
Our roads, are they going to be able to handle the amount of traffic,
or is
it going to be one way?
Let's talk about the traffic.
Go on.
What traffic?
Well, there's loads.
Why are you saying, well, they better handle all the traffic?
Well, we can't handle it now, can we? I mean,
No. You know. Exactly. So, you know, but let's go back to why you suggested, presumably, that there'd be more traffic.
Well, hopefully there'll be more people coming to the island.
If we want them to.
Well, you want nurses and doctors to come and work at NHS, so...
Yeah, but that doesn't produce more traffic.
Doesn't it?
Well, they live here.
Yeah, but you said they weren't. Then we're not attracting them. You just said
But if there was the tunnel, we would be, wouldn't we?
Would we, though?
Yeah, because they're not isolated anymore. They can still... They can take a six-minute trip through the tunnel. A six-minute journey through the tunnel, and they're back to seeing their families and their friends and their university or work colleagues. You know, they can go from the Isle of Wight hospital to another hospital in emergencies, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, the agglomeration of services there, the resources...
So how are they getting through this tunnel, and if you say there's not going to be any traffic?
Well, there will be traffic, but you're suggesting there'll be more traffic.
Yeah.
Why would there be?
Well, because there'll be people coming to the island and using their hospital and working at the hospital and the schools that you said.
Well,
that.
I think we're talking more tourism, aren't we? We've got 27 beaches over here.
Yeah.
Which are absolutely fantastic. And they're easily...
I don't have a problem with the amount of people that want to come. I just look at it and think, well, are we ready for it? And there'll be an element of
I think in 15 years' time or 10 years' time, when this opens, we'll be desperate for it, not ready for it.
Okay. I know things are changing, and I know that if you'd have had the argument 20 years ago, you'd have been laughed at.
Yeah.
Like poor old Phil Murray was.
Yeah.
But now...
I think Phil didn't really get into the whole consultancy business of, you know, finding out what people wanted... what the arguments were against the link and whether the solutions could be found you need preemptive solutions to conquer people, to help them to understand, okay, look, this is the problem, this is the solution, what do you think? And then if you can convince them, it's a good thing, but what's that expression? I can't remember the expression now, but there's a really good expression. It's if you change somebody's mind and they don't want to have it changed, you never will.
Yeah.
So you have to convince them in a good way. And what I've tried to do is on a website, the Solent Freedom Tunnel website, is to explain that there are solutions to, for instance, the traffic. People will think there's going to be a hell of a lot more traffic. Well, there doesn't need to be. If you want a certain level of the traffic, if you want to have the traffic higher, you raise the you lower the tolls to come into the tunnel.
Yeah.
If you want to, sorry. I'm getting distracted here. What are you up to?
I'm just finding some questions. I'm listening to you as well. Don't panic.
Sorry, I was speaking to you. So the toll levels will dictate how much traffic comes through backwards and forwards. If you want to lower the traffic coming to the island, you raise the tolls for people coming to the island. If you want to take people off of the island during the summer... For instance, in the summer holidays, if you've got children that want to go off the island, go and visit relatives and things, you just lower the tolls so that the islanders can go off the island. It leaves space for the people visiting.
Okay.
It's quite simple stuff.
I think, I mean, you know, like you say, this viability study, will it encompass, when you do all of these things, you encompass all the amount of houses that we're building, the state of our roads, public transport, does it take it all into consideration?
If we don't have the facility to get people backwards and forwards across the Solent with the capacity,
yeah,
another 10,000 houses over here is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I don't use the ferries. I don't go on the mainland much. I'm quite happy down here. So I'm, you know, there's an element of, well, keep your mouth shut because it don't affect you. I do feel sorry for those people that have to travel to the mainland and go on and off. But I will say this, I've got on record in saying I don't think sometimes a Redfunnel, White Link, Hover Travel get the credit they actually deserve. Lots of people give them a hard time and roast them and so on and so forth. But they do employ a lot of people as well. Where would all those people that were employed by all of those companies disappear to?
Well, what do they do?
Well, they work.
I know they work. They do. What's that?
They're employed.
They're employed.
Hundreds of people are employed by those particular companies. And what will they do? Lose their jobs?
Well, if you have an economy over here that is more successful because you have better connectivity, it will produce jobs, better jobs, than working on a ferry. Presumably, I'm talking about the jobs that are not as well paid on the ferry. I'm not talking about a captain of the ferry. But if you want to have a decent jobs on the island, you have to have that connectivity here. There's, I think, 1,500 people that are combined working for the ferry companies. There's only a couple of hundred people that live on the island that are working for the ferry companies.
But we know that for sure. And I'm not when I bring this up,
yeah,
I'm not trying to.
It was in some literature that
I'm not trying to make you feel like you're under pressure or anything like that. I'm just asking the question. There's people that would be unemployed, and I'm a great believer in.
If you just let me finish,
You know, I need to know whether I can vote for you or not. And I think it's really important, and I'm not trying to...
This isn't my only sort of kind of...
No, and we move on to policy, that in a mo, and yeah. you'll realise in a mo why I'm actually going down this route. Obviously, that's 1,500 people that might get lost, but what happens is that other companies will come across and want to set up their businesses here because at the moment it's too expensive to set up their businesses to get stuff to travel to the mainland. Is that the point we're trying to make?
It's too expensive to set the businesses up here. Why is that?
Well, because they've got that stretch of water. Is that what you're saying?
But yeah.
I'm actually trying to help you out here I'm rolling it on. We've had 1,500 people lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Whether they're on the Isle of Wight or whether they're on the mainland is
okay.
We'll decide. But the fact
so
is, okay, we've lost that.
But what
are going to get is a load of companies that come and set up because all of a sudden it's cheaper to set up your business on the mainland to get stuff to and fro the island.
It's cheaper to set up a business on the island, you mean?
Then it will be, possibly.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Well, that's going to encourage more employment over here if there are businesses setting up over here.
Well, that's what I've just said. I'm actually trying to help you out. You know,
I'm
not arguing with you. I'm just saying. Okay, let's look beyond the 1,500 people that have lost their jobs.
Yeah,
and I shouldn't be like helping you out because you don't need any help. You've got all this literature and stuff. I haven't. So, you know, but I'm thinking, look, if we look beyond that, yes, okay, there's a rosy future for business. And the council are on about regeneration, so it's a perfect opportunity. They go hand in hand. Would you say that? It's true?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems so obvious that if you're isolated, you're not going to have the benefits that businesses are expecting.
Okay. We're going to go to a quick commercial break in a moment, but we want to talk about other things as well. Mm. How long would this actually take to go from start to finish? When can you say this is all done? Because the other thing is I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, so the infrastructure at the moment wouldn't work, but if this thing takes 15 years, we've got 15 years to get our fingers out and put the infrastructure in place.
Well, the Tech Tunnel came over and Royal Haskoning, DHV, stayed at my house for a couple of days. I asked them, what about this? How long do you think it's going to take to get this built? And from other comparators of other tunnels and things that they built, they said between 5 and 7 years. So between 5 and 7 years will be the construction time.
Okay.
But quite often, the semantics of, you know, political, you know, bureaucracy and trying to get the planning and all that sort of stuff, that probably will take equally as much time.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. What's the other big policy you've got?
Just transparency and consulting the constituencies, the constituents for the policies that I take to Westminster.
Okay, and we've got some questions for you as well from peeps. It's 20 to 1. We will be back.
Yeah.
Vectors Radio. 104.6. The heart of the island's community.
One Leisure is the island's premier fitness destination.
It is perfect for everybody, from absolute beginners to fitness fanatics. We offer 150 fitness classes every week.
And tone zone gyms at Medina, The Heights and Westbridge.
Swimming, squash, a health suite.
And much more. Why go anywhere else?
Have fun. Get fit. Stay fit.
Call 01983 823 880.
Or see oneleisure.co.uk for more information now.
Friends of the Animals would love to welcome you to one of its fun quizzes. These are held at the Folly Whippingham on the second Tuesday of every month. To book a table there, just ring 297171. Or we're at the Waverley in Carisbrook on the last Thursday of each month. Ring 522 338 to book a table. Or come on your own and we'll slot you into a team. Both quizzes start at 7:45 and finish around 10. So come along and have a great night out whilst helping a really good cause.
At Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks, we work all year round. And in all types of weather, to keep your power on. So if the weather, or anything else, interrupts your power supply, tell us, so we can help you as soon as possible. Speak to us on 105 or download our PowerTrack app. Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks. Let's be ready together. Whatever the weather, ssen.co.uk.
Calling all singers, songwriters, bands, artists and record producers too. We need your help. We're trying to build a bigger local music library here at Vectis Radio, and we play local tracks at least once an hour during daylight hours. Send us your MP3s and we can put them on our playlist and they will be played out. So if you have any MP3s that are kicking around that are between 3 and 4 minutes, preferably, and definitely radio friendly, please send them to me, ian.mac@vectisradio.fm, and you will be heard on FM 104.6, Vectis Radio, the home of local music.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, has a limited number of advertising spots available. Give your business the boost it needs and reach across the island. Email our team today, marketing@vectisradio.fm.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
It's 17 minutes away from 1 o'clock. We do have parliamentary candidate Carl Feeney in, and we've talked about the fixed link, and there's other things you want to chat about, and we've got a lot of stuff to squeeze in between now and 1 o'clock. So what was the next topic you wanted to chat about?
Well, I'm hoping to do things differently if I become an MP. The present MP, or previous MPs before that, they have a vision for the island themselves, and it doesn't seem to be very well consulted with the electorate, the constituents. And I want that to change. I don't think it should be an autonomous way of presenting in Westminster. You should consult with the constituents first, and then have those policies that they've dictated to you represented in Westminster, as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, you know, some of these people are going to come unstuck in a minute when they were ones that wanted to remain, but 60-odd thousand people voted, or 60% of the people voted to come out, and they've gone against their wishes.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine, you know, when Judgment Day comes on December the 12th, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, It's going to be very interesting.
You're obviously going to be out and about in the next couple of weeks.
Sure, yeah.
And leaflets are coming through the door and so on.
Hopefully.
Okay. There is some questions.
Okay.
One from Paul. And what we do is, I'll be honest with you, I don't do aggression or stuff or nasty questions, so I'm not going to ask any nasty questions. They might be a bit awkward. And in some ways, you know, I'll say to you, if you don't want to answer it, don't answer it, because it's up to you. But in some ways, it's good to just clarify where you are. Paul says, I believe Carl has a large property portfolio here, so even the merest hint of a fixed link would push prices up and thus be financially beneficial to him. Is that true?
Totally ridiculous. I think we should just move on.
Yeah?
On that one. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You don't want to answer it? You don't want to clarify it?
I've gone to all this trouble. I've spent 5 years of my life.
Yeah.
Unpaid. It's cost me a fortune. It's cost me tens of thousands of pounds to continue with this campaign. I've lost 5 years of my life working. Well, if you add it up, all the bits and bobs, would probably be about 3 years full-time on this campaign, unpaid. Now, do you really think I'm just doing this for money?
Let's be honest, if you've got property anyway, you ain't going to need it, are you?
I've got rent coming in.
Yeah.
It's great. I've got really fantastic tenants.
I mean, I'm joking now, but what I say is probably not going to be treated as a joke. You're 54, you ain't got much longer left, about 20-odd years. By the time this thing's built, you ain't going to feel the benefit, are you?
Absolutely.
Maybe I should be your campaign manager, but that's not an offer. Right, okay, so that's Paul answered. I'll be honest with you. I've asked people to be respectful, and they kind of have, but there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of love here. But it gives you a great opportunity to clarify.
Sure.
Can you guarantee cheaper tolls than the ferry prices?
It depends what the ferry prices are. And it depends if you're an islander or a visitor. And it depends upon the season as well. The intention is to have a very low structure of tolls for islanders. So you can have a permit that you buy for the whole year. At the moment, on the spreadsheet that's giving the indication of 200 million a year that comes in from the tolls, you would pay a £2,000 toll for the year, which equates to £40 a week, and you can go backwards and forwards twice a day if you want, 7 days a week. If you use that to its full extent, that would mean each trip would be £2.85 for a car. So that's a pretty good deal. If you then don't have the permit, it's £10 each way. If you're a visitor, now that would be for the whole year.
So you've worked out the prices already?
It's all done, yeah. This is the spreadsheet that was given to ARUP, originally KPMG. They looked at it, and that's why they became particularly interested in it, because they could see the potential of actually managing to pay this infrastructure back.
Who will have control over this? Is it something that you're campaigning for, and you'll hold the keys?
British Highways Network.
So it won't be you?
No.
That's good, because some of these people upset you, they might not get off the island.
I'll be handing over. Yeah. Right. All I want to do, my part in this, is to facilitate a study, and then make sure I'd be part of a steering committee that makes sure that the ferry companies don't kind of frustrate. I'm aware of what's been going on in the last 5 years to make sure the study isn't secured. I mean, if you imagine you're one of the ferry companies, both of the ferry companies, and combined they have a net worth of over £500 million on the open market. If this study goes forward and is found to be positive, their share price will collapse overnight. And they're determined, and they're using political means to make sure that this doesn't occur.
Right, okay. Do you have proof for that?
Well, just think about it.
Yeah, I mean, the logic, I mean, it would say...
I do have proof as well.
Yeah,
and it's on the Solon Freedom Tunnel website.
Okay. Look, I've got more questions for you.
Yeah.
And I'm cleaning these up.
Sure.
Would you consider a fixed link across the Medina? Okay, he's joking here.
No, I'm serious. That's serious, yeah. That's part of my... part of my agenda.
Would you consider it a waste of public funds on the farcical floating bridge?
Oh, yes, totally. It needs to be an immersed tube tunnel there, which, again, is easy. You go around the world, you see these things everywhere. And you have a one-piece immersed tube tunnel, gets floated in, gets sunk into a trench where the floating bridge is. The seabed's exactly the same level. You have ramps both ends, and you can take pedestrians, mobility scooters, cyclists, all those sort of things through. It's 24 hours a day. It would completely revitalise East Cowes, and the two towns would be connected 24/7. And the traffic would have to go over near Stag Lane at a Medina crossing bridge.
Isn't this something that the council are kind of looking into anyway?
Yep, I had a meeting with Chris Ashman, who's the regeneration director, about 18 months ago in a pub. And I put it to him, why aren't we getting this done? It's just too expensive, he said. I said, well, here's a few calculations. Now what do you think?
Okay.
Okay.
Richard Mays.
Now they're looking into it.
Is a big fan of yours. I would like to thank Carl for all his time and effort. And it's going to lead into another question. It's not really a question from him. We're trying to improve the economic growth and social development on the island by improving access to the Iron Vera fixed link. Our children will have greater opportunities. The island's economy will flourish if we had better connectivity to the mainland. We haven't touched on this, but it was in the news 2 weeks ago that we've got 9,000 young people, kids, that are in child poverty.
Yeah.
We haven't touched on this, and I'm hoping that all six people will have, you know, answers, and I'm not going to answer for you. You know, what are we doing for them? You know, is that part of your agenda? Is that part of, hey, look, we've got to support these kids? 9,000's a lot.
It's the bigger picture, isn't it? Yeah, we are in an area. Certain areas of the island are very affluent, but it's generally holiday homers, like Seaview, Bembridge, Yarmouth, Cowes. You know, there's money coming in from people who have holiday homes here. But then you'll see other areas. In Newport here, where I live, I see a lot of poverty. And a lot of people on minimum wage or below, or zero contract hours. And zero contract hours, I think, are awful. It's terrible. I mean, no one can get a mortgage on that. They can't guarantee they can pay the rent on that. You know, if you're going to work 10 hours 1 week, 40 hours another week, that's only going to lead to poverty and food banks. And, you know, there needs to be a lot of change. But if you can facilitate an economy that's booming and you've got a circular economy here, it gives people a lot more opportunity for gainful employment, and then the children obviously will benefit from that as well. And the council are closing down facilities and resources for children, you know, community groups, youth clubs, all these things, they're all closing.
Yeah, sadly, that comes down to funding from central government. That's the reason why they have to do that.
It does, but if you can become self-sustaining as an area, you can then develop your business rates and your council tax. There's not so many people asking for subsidies, you know, and you will get more resources coming in. Obviously, we've got a lot of social care over here, the problems with an elderly demographic, and a lot of people retiring here, who I don't blame them. You know, I'd do the same thing. If I could buy a property a lot cheaper on the Isle of Wight, sell mine on the mainland for a lot more, and then put the money in the bank and live on it until my dying day,
yeah,
I'd probably do the same thing, especially if you had lovely green fields and lovely beaches to walk along. But at the end of our lives, generally, we end up in some sort of residential care or the hospital. I think 70% of the NHS is utilised by the over 65s.
Mm.
And if we got predominantly over 65s on the island, which is increasing, And most likely the 10,000 houses that are going to be built will be purchased by the over 65s, because there won't be much employment over here. There's going to be a lot more demand for our NHS services as well.
Hey, look, I've got to get this in before we finish. Why should we vote for you?
I'm an Islander. I'm really looking after the Isle of Wight. That's all pretty much I care about, really. I just want to make sure the Isle of Wight is a good place to live, good place to work, good place to visit. I want to be proud of where I live. And I need help. You know, I'll need the constituents to help me find the path and the policies to do this, and I'll be asking for their advice. And I've got big ideas. I want to get the connectivity here. I want to get the connectivity across the Medina. I don't want to stop people stuck in their cars a lot of the day, getting frustrated. I want them to get back to their families so they can enjoy their evenings as opposed to being stuck in a traffic jam. And I want them to earn more money so they can go away on holidays and nip off to the mainland whenever they want to.
Okay, it's been fascinating. There's one thing we haven't spoken about, and I didn't think it would take this long to get on it, because everyone else has been talking about it non-stop for 3 and a bit years. Where do you stand on Brexit?
Okay, yeah, that is a big one, isn't it?
Well, you've got less than 3 minutes.
Okay, I voted out. And I was appalled at the way things went after that, and the realisation we'd all been lied to from both sides, from the Brexit and the Remain side. I don't think we can have another referendum, because what's the point? We had one originally, so why would the second one be taken more seriously than the first? I think if we need to produce a very strong base for doing any deals with the EU, and we can only do that with the notion that we will leave without a deal. And yeah, we are 14%. There's 70 million people in this country. There's 500 million people in the EU. If they just don't want to lose 14% of their business. We don't really want to lose the EU, but there is a bigger world out there that we can trade with if we do. And they have to know that we are serious about leaving if we don't get a good deal. There's 27 other countries there that can veto the deal that we can put to them. But if we're out of the EU, they can't veto it anymore.
So you're an out. You've got to come out. And we're going out.
I don't want to come out. I love Europe. I think the people there are fantastic. I love the countries I often visit. And I'm really upset that the whole thing started in the first place. But our relationship with the EU has dwindled so much as well. You know, we are where we are.
Just to confirm, we've got a few seconds left. Are you out of Europe?
I want to stay in, but it's obvious that we have to leave. We have to leave now.
Okay. Look, it's been a pleasurable experience. I know more about you. I'm treating this as like this is a job interview. There's six of you that I'm interviewing. One of you is going to get a 75 grand job. And
75 grand?
I think I'm pretty sure it's
75
grand.
You know, I didn't
grand.
Even know the wage.
And, well, there you go.
The money doesn't interest me.
Plus expenses.
I'll put it to charity.
Yeah?
Yeah, seriously. The money doesn't interest me whatsoever.
Okay. Well, look, it's been nice. You've opened my eyes, and you know, I hope you do well. I hope you get your £500 back at least, and who knows what will happen after that. You know, I believe we should have some kind of change.
Yeah.
But not just for change's sake. As long as we've got a plan and we're moving forward, that would be fantastic. But good luck on the 12th of December.
What?
We've got to go.
Do you know what?
News time's coming up.
Oh,
sorry.
Shame.
Cheers.
Shame.